Good morning. It is an honor and a privilege to be sharing the word with you from the pulpit of Marsh Chapel again. Thank you to Dean Hill for this opportunity and my colleagues here at Marsh Chapel for their support in organizing today's worship service, especially our anthems from the choir for the service today. Fantastic. I want to invite you to take a moment to think about the best dinner you've ever had. I don't necessarily mean the meal you ate, and maybe that's a part of it, but the best dinner experience you've ever had. I'm almost sure that this dining experience you're remembering right now is with at least one other person, maybe a whole table full of people. How did you feel? What did you talk about? Maybe your dinner was a part of a celebration for a birthday or an anniversary. Maybe it was at a family holiday gathering. Maybe it was with friends out at a restaurant, or maybe it was a home-cooked meal made by a family member. There is something about that dinner that sticks with you, a connection made, an emotion felt, an experience that cannot be forgotten. Every Tuesday night, in this building, something wonderful and amazing happens. Onions are chopped, sometimes with tears. Dough is kneaded and shaped. Chickpeas ground, tomatoes sliced, garlic sauteed. Simple ingredients are turned into a meal. And while all of this is happening, people gather. Some of us are in the kitchen, learning how to make whatever dish is on the menu that night. Some of us stand just inside or outside the doorway into the kitchen, carrying on conversation with those who are cooking, and others gather just down the hall, conversing about the week so far and playing the occasional game of Jenga. We all come from different backgrounds. Some of us are from neighboring towns in Massachusetts. Some are from the South or the West. Some from China or Mexico or India or Nigeria. The places we know as home might differ, but in our interactions, we create a new place of belonging for ourselves. Global Dinner Club has grown in the last 2 years as an opportunity for hospitality and understanding across cultural differences as members of the Boston University community come together to share a meal and conversation. Most students, when they first come, ask the same question. You do this every week? For free? Yes, a home-cooked meal prepared with care and attention by people who may or may not know each other, all with the goal of sharing together. And sometimes those new people jump right in and offer to chop or slice, stir or roll, and sometimes they hold off for a week or two, observing what goes on before feeling confident and comfortable enough to fully participate. And that's okay. No one is ever told that they must participate, but we hope that they come around to it eventually. Tuesday nights are wonderful and amazing because they are grounded in love. Every person who attends wants to be in community with others, even if they've had a hard day. Global Dinner Club serves as a release from coursework and other concerns, allowing space to only focus on cooking and enjoying food with each other for a few hours. What is also amazing about Global Dinner Club is that it is antithetical to everything that the world wants me to believe about life in the United States at the moment. It is people from all different backgrounds and varying ages coming together with the only agenda of eating and getting to know each other. Attendees find points of commonality, for instance, a favorite television show or a class taken, and from there the conversation grows. Or they find points of difference. For example, idioms that are commonplace in American English need further explanation to make sense for non-native English speakers. As an aside, this week I realized how Western the term damsel in distress is, and how hard it is to explain if you didn't grow up with fairy tales about castles and knights and dragons. While there are barriers we have to overcome in understanding each other sometimes, and while there are many possible outside forces that could prevent us from experiencing the joy of learning from others and growing in friendship, it is still possible. It gives me hope at a time when so much of our world seems to be in chaos. It reminds me that love is stronger than hate. Consuming food for nourishment is a basic human need for all human beings. But it becomes something so much more because it is shared. Eating together enables us to get to know one another. It is an intimate act. When I asked you to envision the best dinner you've ever attended, I bet it brought back particular memories about whom you shared it with and the emotions you felt during that time. Sharing a meal unifies those gathered around a table through telling stories, revealing oneself enough to find common ground, and leaving behind quarrels or divisions to enjoy. We may, at one time or another, have sat at a table with someone who sees the world differently than us, but we have been able to grow and learn from interacting with them over a meal. It is not the act of eating alone that brings us together, but the act of sharing in the experience of a meal, of conversation and eating, words and action that enable us to grow into community. In the lesson we heard this morning from Philippians, Paul urges the community of Christians in Philippi that they must be united, that they mustn't let infighting and quarreling divide them. They must act as servants to one another, acting in love toward one another. In order to share in the Spirit, they must be willing to be open and humble as Christ followers, anticipating the needs of the other and looking toward the interests of the other before thinking of one's own self-interests. Living in community with others is difficult, and Paul knows this, but he emphasizes that one of the ways that the community in Philippi can come together is to let God be front and center in their minds as they go about interacting, serving each other's needs as God acts through them to do so. A meal is a great place to put this into practice. Not only are we able to meet the physical needs of others by providing the sustenance offered through food, but we are able to provide the emotional and spiritual support of others through listening and offering parts of our own journeys with them. Extending hospitality to others is a part of our Christian heritage, and a meal can be that, just that, for those searching for it. Sharing a meal is a sacred act. Today we will share in a meal together in Holy Communion. Other religious traditions also share sacred meals. Every Friday, our Jewish friends celebrate Shabbat. At the end of each fasting day during Ramadan, our Muslim brothers and sisters break their fast by sharing in an iftar. In most worship practices within Hinduism, worshipers consume the prasad, the food which is first offered to and then ultimately blessed by the deities. Consuming food, especially together, is an important sacred activity within many religious traditions other than our own. But today, in a few moments, we will share in a particularly special and unifying meal in our worship service. The first Sunday of the month is always Communion Sunday here at Marsh Chapel, but today is an even more special day. Today, we celebrate World Communion Sunday. This first Sunday in October is celebrated throughout the Christian world as a time when we intentionally recognize how all Christians are connected to one another through sharing the sacred meal of Holy Communion. Created in the early 20th century by the Presbyterian Church, the importance and popularity of World Communion Sunday grew during World War II, when the world appeared to be tearing itself apart with conflicts on many fronts. Christian ecumenicism, bringing together the many of the mainline Protestant traditions and some of the Orthodox traditions, helped people find points of connection rather than being defined by the theological traditions that separated their individual Christian denominations. It resulted in the development of Christian-led reconciliation work in the face of ongoing conflict that continues to this day through organizations like the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches. Today, World Communion Sunday offers us a time to see how the body of Christ extends across the globe in many shapes and forms as a unified whole. While communing with individuals who claim different denominational affinities or none at all is not out of the ordinary for us here at Marsh Chapel as an interdenominational Protestant chapel, today we affirm the call to come together as one in this sacred meal, open to all who wish to partake. Our ritual of Holy Communion is not a full meal. At most, we usually get a bite of bread and a sip of wine or grape juice. But it stands for a bigger meal with a greater meaning for us. In preparation for today's sermon, I read Lutheran theologian and historian Martin Marty's The Lord's Supper. It's a small book, easy to read, designed for the everyday person. I highly suggest it if you're looking to learn more about how and why we do the things we do during communion. In it, Marty reminds the reader that we must keep in mind the greater context of what we are doing through the act of communion. He states, quote, "The Lord's Supper is often called Holy Communion, a coming together of bread with body, wine with blood, God with creatures, and believers with one another. To realize through communion that one is a social human being who shares common miseries and joys is a benefit of this meal. It serves to lift a person beyond mere meanness." While we may come to church services looking to find something that will resonate with us individually, usually through a sermon or the prayers, we must also be reminded that the purpose of worship, and specifically communion, is to bring us together as a we. Not just as a we of people in one place, but a we of connection with all others, including God and the creation. Communion brings us back in touch with the earth to see the way God works through the world. Just like a regular meal we might have on a daily basis, communion also consists of words and actions. And in order to be communion, it must have both. In the Small Catechism, the instruction booklet of faith for Lutherans, Martin Luther explains that communion is more than just eating and drinking. It is the combination of words shared and the action of eating and drinking that constitutes the sacred act of grace and forgiveness, which makes Holy Communion a sacrament rather than just another meal. In the words spoken by Jesus that we repeat during Holy Communion and the actions that we follow that he performed with the disciples, we are a part of the sacrament. Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you." And after supper, he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." When we offer and receive, sharing these holy words, we are a part of the experience of the divine and are brought together as members of God's holy family. The meal we share in communion helps to feed our souls by offering us the grace of the divine and encouraging us to let that grace work through us in service of creating a more just and loving world. In coming together as a congregation, we open ourselves up to bear the burdens and serve the interests of others through sharing in the Spirit with one another. Our task is to continue to extend the grace offered to us through our experience with Holy Communion by loving our neighbors and showing care for them. One way we might show care is by offering a meal or a place to rest to those who need it. Or maybe we might gather supplies for those experiencing loss, like our community-minded service group MOVE is doing for people in Texas and Florida and the Caribbean. If the intentions of our actions are grounded in faith, then we do much more than meet the physical needs of others. we also extend God's love into the world. We come together in worship to hear the gospel, bear each other's troubles, ask for forgiveness, receive God's grace, and go out into the world, living our lives being carried forward by the mind of Christ. Let us look for the ways in which we can all share in the Spirit with others, especially those who are marginalized and oppressed, creating a community of understanding and support outside of this physical space and time. Let God work through us to bring forth justice and reconciliation in the world. Let us simply look up from our plates across the table to those sitting around us and share pieces of ourselves with others along with our meal. Amen.